to the Daily Monologue. My name is Jabril Shaleem. Today we've got our guest here, Micah Joseph Brinkley from Charlotte, North Carolina. Wrote numerous essays, activist, poet laureate, famous rapper. Just thank you for being on the show. Our audience, please give a round of applause for him, please. Come on.
Right. And it's important that we have to understand Malcolm X was as a person in order for us to really get into his writing. So he was born Malcolm Little, 1925 in Omaha, Nebraska. He was the son of a Baptist preacher who was very into the ideology of Marcus Garvey. So he had a very pan-Africanist, radical belief at the time. Soon, however, he would move to Lansing, Michigan. And it would be there where Malcolm X would really become the person that he's really known for today. His mom would have a nervous breakdown, really let Malcolm be on his own, you know, really looking after himself. And this is where he would get his very famous name known as Detroit Red, where he would become a extremely notorious criminal, dealings with a lot of stuff in the underworld. And at 21, he would actually be sentenced to prison time. And while in prison, he discovered the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his teachings with the Nation of Islam. And it was this that when he learned about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings that would awaken a fire in his heart. But what he realized was that in order for him to even begin to take himself seriously, to even try to understand this man's teachings and to even attempt to be a part of this man's organization known as the Nation of Islam, he would have to change who he was. He would have to learn and he would have to educate himself. And this is where our seminal work that we're discussing comes in today, right now. I think that's something that you can kind of glean from that understanding, that even when they try to do their best to deracinate us, eradicate us, extirpate us, we still somehow try to find a way, you know what I'm saying, to overcome, because that is the history of the black person in this world and minority in general. Okay, and I'd like to quote a piece from the article, and it goes so forth. I became increasingly frustrated at not being able to express what I wanted to convey in letters that I wrote. But now, trying to write simple English, I not only wasn't articulate, I wasn't even functional. How would I sound writing in slang? The way I would say it, something such as, "Look, Daddy, let me pull your coat about a cat." You know, and I think that this quote right here is so interesting to me, because it shows some correlation to a piece called "If Black English Is in the Language, Then Tell Me What Is" by James Baldwin, where he stresses the importance of African American vernacular English and its accepted in European dominated spaces. You know, obviously the way that we talk as black people isn't taken seriously. It's looked at as some type of slang, ebonics, less than. This is not how you're supposed to talk in the professional world, which is a micro transgression, honestly, right then and there, you know, a dog whistle, if you will. Well, why not? I mean, this is a language that's just as justified as any other language. And if you would say that the way we speak, the way we talk, is not acceptable for a language, then we have to read over the rules of what it is that creates a language. Because as they often say, when you control how a man speaks and how he thinks, you control who he is as a person. So here we are. We can't even express ourselves. And when a person cannot express themselves, you destroy them from the inside out. So they're telling us that we cannot express ourselves in a way which is native to us, which completely would cause a sort of, I don't even want to know, a schism, if you will, in the mind and the soul of who this person is, the culture. Now, another quote that I would like to mention is, goes so forth like this. I have often reflected upon the new vistas that reading opened to me. I knew right there in prison that reading had changed forever the course of my life. As I see it today, the ability to read awakened inside me some long dormant craving to mentally live. Now, End quote. And I would say to you, you know, many people have shrugged off the sales of reading, especially in today's time. The capitalistic mindset, of course, is, you know, be an engineer, be a doctor. These things like English majors, sociological things, the arts, they're not important. But I believe that time and time again, you know, this is proven nescient, you know, the salience of reading, you know, because it opens your mind to things that you would have thought impossible. It truly is a candle in the dark. And if you aren't aware, you can take your place next to the Australopithecus. You're dormant. You're not thinking. You might as well be a caveman, a troglodyte, if you will. You know, I one of my professors in my life who affected me deeply, my intellectual precision, she said, her name was Professor Walker, and she said to us that this quote, that you often believe that you are the only one going through what you are going through, and then you read. And I think that that's so important, because you have to, if you really look at most of the activists that came our way, W.B. Du Bois, you know, Frederick Douglass, Elhaj Malik Shabazz, Malcolm X, they found that education was going to be our way to freedom. You understand? They found that education was going to be our way to freedom. So you couldn't shrug off the importance of reading and education. We look at someone like Malcolm X. While he was in prison, he learned about many different cultures, many different peoples, the Asians, the Indian, African, and how the ways of white supremacy and colonialism was targeted to them. And he was able to take that and now better understand how we can fight it here in the Americas, in Africa. You know, you don't have that, then you have no way to fight back. And when you don't have the tools to fight back, then you will be put down. You will be subjugated. And so that was something that was extremely important for him to come across. Learning new ways, new ideas. You know, you don't just stay basic. You are now multifaceted. You now can understand. One of the last quotes I'd like to go into is he says, towards the end of the piece, he says that this white writer from London called him, and he asked him a question. He said, "Hey, gee, Bill, what's your alma mater? You gotta be a Cornell or, you know, Cambridge man." And he said, I told him that my alma mater was books. This is a man, he didn't go to college, and he spent much of his childhood and his youth a thug, a criminal, a miscreant. And yet, 6 years in prison, here he is able to verse with the finest minds in philosophy, sociology, economics, whatever, it doesn't matter. And he now, here's a white man who's coming to him telling him, "Yo, you are so smart. You have to have gone to one of my, you know, of course, our beautiful PWI institutions." And he says, "Books." He spent his entire time when he was in prison reading books and to help the black man. I mean, if anything, it just emphasizes the importance of reading and staying aware, because you might be walking around, but if you have no mental stimulus, then you are dead, you know. And a man who had no real education was in prison, labeled a criminal, was thought to be an erudite from those who didn't know his background when he finally, you know, came to the prominence in the general population, you know. Whites with educations from state places like Oxford and Cambridge, Ivy League degrees, they flocked to this man for his intelligence. They couldn't, he outwitted them. You know, it just proves the wonders of writing are incontrovertible, and is extremely important. If anything, I think it nails home that final piece, the nail in the coffin, that, you know, it's very important. If reading is possible anywhere, and if the white folks will not give it to us, then we must provide it for ourselves. And I think that's really what, somehow, some way, because, and it's not fair, but that's the only way we're going to survive. I truly feel this way. I mean, and again, obviously, we know Elhaj Malik Shabazz, a.k.a. Malcolm X, he would go on to be one of the most prominent faces during the civil rights movement, and, you know, known for his radical beliefs, for the advocacy for the freedom of American Africans, you know, and he wrote numerous essays. You know, and unfortunately, we know, of course, he would be assassinated and murdered. But I really think that was the importance of the piece. And I really want to say thank you for inviting me on your show today.
to be able to even and discuss this, he's one of my idols, as and should be of us. And we have to remember just how important education is, even as we get further and further removed from these individuals.
Everybody, please give it up. Please give it up for the philosopher, Micah Joseph Brinkley. We really want to thank you for coming on the show. Just giving a look of a perspicacity into this topic, and you really should ought to come back next time.